Okay, amen. I feel like I've been to church already. This is great. Okay, well, thank you. All right, I'm going to let my wife start.
Okay. Okay, if I talk too fast, just go back and watch it on rewind in slow motion. So I'm sorry. I'll try to talk slow, sort of. Not really, because I'm not going to. Okay. So many things have happened since we've been here last. So we are in major transition. We've been doing a school called SAFA, Spiritual Air Force Academy, for winning the battle in the heavenlies for the last couple of years. We've now just done a name change to Ekbalo, because Lou loves name changes. That's all I can say. And we've been with Lou Engle for the last 13 years, and it's been a joy to run alongside, nothing like sprinting for 13 years. One time, don't watch this, Lou. One time I looked at his assistant and our CEO, and they're both like this. And I looked at him and I said, have you just been with Lou? Yes. He's like five tornadoes all at once. Oh, okay, so Lou Engle is the head of the call, which is a prayer ministry which gathers prayer solemn assemblies in stadiums around the nation, in the U.S. Fatine is doing similar things up here in Canada. So he's just one guy introduced Lou as a weather system. Welcome, Lou Engle, the weather system. So he tends to spawn tornadoes wherever he is. Anyhow, that's what we've been doing. So we've been doing the Spiritual Air Force Academy. We're now calling it Ekbalo. Why would we call it Ekbalo? What an odd name. What does that mean? Are you going to play ball? You know, Ekbalo. No, it's the Greek word for thrust. Matthew 9:38, thrust forth laborers into the harvest, violently thrust. So if you pray things, be willing to be an answer to your own prayers. So I'm getting violently thrust to a place that you all would like to come. But if you know the truth, I want to be where you are. So you come to Hawaii, that's where I'm getting thrust to. I know it's pitiful. I've whined, I've cried, I've bawled, I've sobbed, I've, you know, stuck my heels in until I yielded my will and say, okay, God, if I'm going to pray for laborers to be thrust and bellowed into the harvest, wherever it is, it's almost like it'd be easier to go to China than it would be to Hawaii in my heart. It's like, well, that's something noble. What on earth do I want to go to a place that everybody vacations at? However, we're going to the backside of Hawaii. We're going to the very remote southern tip, where we have to drive about an hour and a half to go get groceries. So that's what we're doing. And we do have a website. We have these cards that you can look at. We'll leave them behind. Ekbaloschool.com. But the thing that we want to do is raise up sons and daughters. Because if we want fathers and mothers, they must first be sons and daughters. So we want to raise up a whole bunch of sons and daughters to replace ourselves. In fact, we just replaced ourselves in Pasadena, California. We now have a school going on without us with three couples and students that stayed behind to go ahead and pray for laborers to be thrust into the harvest, to go out as strike teams to the nations. So we're now going to Hawaii to do the same. Families coming from North Carolina to be able to come and be trained, go back and do a school there. Some are coming from Dallas to be able to go back and do one there. And we want to raise up sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, to be able to have 100,000 sent ones. And we can't do this alone. We have to multiply ourselves. You have to multiply yourselves. So we are going to go ahead and go to Hawaii and do a school. Roger, you can come up, but I will finish. Okay, I'm good. Okay, so we were just in Cleveland, Ohio, for the call Cleveland. And how many were at Azusa Now in LA? Okay, perfect. So Azusa Now, what's that? So there were 70,000. It was supposed to be over 100,000, but it rained. And in California, when it rains, everybody Facebooks it. They stick it on their Instagram because it is noteworthy, because it did not rain very much. In fact, we were in a long-term drought when we had no rain at all. So when it rained that day, it hadn't rained for months previous until the day before. The day before, that day it rains, and then it doesn't rain for months after. Then we have record-breaking rain that literally floods all the dams in California and breaks the rain. It literally, the news said, it was an atmospheric river that was coming to California. And that's absolutely what happened. So Azusa now, incredible. Up on the platform, there was Lauren Cunningham, there was Joy Dawson, there was Jack Hayford. Oh, there were so many giants of the faith. I know there's so many more. And please forgive me for not remembering all who they were. Sitting up next to Lou, it was the fathers of the faith, those who had gone before. Billy Graham had blessed the whole thing. He was unable to be there. But the fathers of the faith were on the platform. In Cleveland, Ohio, it was the most amazing thing. I looked up there and I realized, it's all the sons. It's this next generation sitting next to Lou. It's Reinhard Bonnke's successor, Daniel Kalinda. It's Brian Barcelona with One Voice. It's the circuit riders, Andy Bird and Brian Brent. And many, many others, Michael Koulianis, Benny Hinn's successor. All of these sons that are rising up. It's the sons that we are looking for. Super fast, one scripture. Don't turn to it. 1 Kings 8:15. Blessed be the Lord God. This is Solomon when he's dedicating the temple. David in his heart was to build a house of prayer. A house of prayer for all nations. We've heard that. He wanted to build a house that would house the covenant, the testimony, the Ark of the Covenant. This was so much in David's heart. And yet it was his son who fulfilled his heart. So here's King Solomon. He's dedicating the temple. The Ark of the Covenant is coming into the temple, and he stands up and he begins to pray. And this is what he prays. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled with his hand. He spoke with his mouth to my father David. It's in my heart to build a house of prayer. God has been speaking this to Rod and I since 1996. We didn't even know what a house of prayer was. We had no clue what it was. A house of prayer for all nations. He's been speaking to that to us. But he's also been saying, and your son will build it. It's like, what? Like, don't we get to, like, join in the party? And we didn't quite understand that it was us, that we were to raise up the next generation of sons and daughters that were going to fulfill it. That God spoke with his mouth, and he fulfilled it with his hand. You know how people say, you know, let's seek the face of God and not the hand of God. Yes, I agree with that. But also, I'm seeking the hand of God. Because where is the hand of God that's going to fulfill the word that has been spoken? Come here. This is the hand of God. My daughter is the hand of God, and this daughter. These are the hand of God. We have spoken and we have prophesied with our mouth. But I'm looking for the sons and daughters that are going to fulfill the word of the Lord. Victoria and her sister Alicia, my daughter also, 13 and 17-year-old, at the call Cleveland, Todd White calls out and he says, okay, anybody with scars from cutting, I want you to raise your hands. And people gathered around them and prayed for them. First time, the girls, they looked at Victoria specifically with her eyes, saw the girl's scars all over her arms and legs. And she had started weeping. She was definitely being touched, but it was the shame of the past to be rolled away. The second time he says, okay, let's pray again. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, in the name of Jesus. Victoria opens her eyes and sees these scars literally fading off of this girl's arm. The girl just, and within about 3 seconds, completely free and clear, the girl begins sobbing. I look down and I see Victoria down there. I'm up in the bleachers. I'm like, I think she just saw somebody get healed. And then it's like a floodgate. I mean, she was just absolutely overwhelmed. Our sons and daughters, they're the hand of God to fulfill his word. Don't give up and don't grow weary at the promises. There's a next generation that's coming forth that we as fathers and mothers need to raise up. We have to be the pillars. We have to be the ceiling that is their floor. That then they, the hand of God, will fulfill his word.
Amen. Wow. I could watch you preach all day. So our anniversary is 1 week from today. We'll be married 34 years. She's more beautiful than ever. All right. I only have 30 seconds, so I'm done, right? Now, I just have a couple of things just to briefly share with you. John 14, chapter 14, verse 7. I'm just going to read a little bit of scripture. This way you can say you've had your dose of your word for today. And just give you a couple of thoughts just that I want you to take with you as you go. Verse 7, if Jesus is speaking, he says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and the greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." There's just so much here that I can't unpack it, but I want to just give you a couple of nuggets from this. As I was been meditating over this over the last few weeks, just the whole thing about abiding in the Lord and being one with him. Jesus said, "The Father's in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus as our older brother, as our Lord, gave us, if you read John 13, he says, "I am your Lord and Savior." He said this right after he washed the feet of the disciples. He says, "I've given you an example of how you should live. You are a son, you are a daughter, you are called to exemplify the kingdom of God in your life. Not just, what am I trying to say here? Not just, I'm saved and I'm going to get to go to heaven someday, but you are called to be the representation of the kingdom of God here on earth." Right. We sang it today. The atmosphere is changing. Now, we come into church, the atmosphere is changing, we're the presence of God. What about tomorrow morning when you go to work? What about when you go to Walmart or Canadian Tire, wherever you guys shop? When you go into the store, is this your thought process? Miracles can happen now because the kingdom of God is here. Because I'm here. I'm in him. I abide in Christ. He abides in me. Therefore, wherever I go, God's there. This is to be our attitude. This is to be how you think and how you live your life. Do you hear me? So next time you get out of the car to put gas in the gas tank, the kingdom of heaven is here. Miracles can happen now. Lord, just open my eyes. Help me see. Let me see with your perspective. So I was reading this article here a couple weeks ago. It's in the Fox News newspaper. They were talking about quantum entanglement. Does anybody know what a photon is? I don't either, but Photon is a teeny particle of light. All light is made up of photons. So think about what Brent was talking about earlier. A photon, so they took a photon and they matched a pair of photons. They quantumly entangle them, and I don't have a clue how they do that. You'll get the point here in a minute. So they took the photons, quantumly entangled them, which means that they're like together. And then they took one of the photons and they beamed it to outer space. Actually did this with hundreds of them. But they beamed it to outer space to a satellite 310 miles above the Earth. So this quantumly entangled, two photons, they're quantumly entangled. They send one to outer space, one's on the Earth. And what happens when they're quantumly entangled is if you touch one, you touch the other. In fact, the quote out of the article is, "They're more than identical twins. The two are one and the same." Science is beginning to get close to figuring out what the Lord was saying in John 14. If you abide in me, John 14 and 15. I and the Father are one. We are one in Him. Science is starting to get close to figuring out there's something called, they call it quantumly entangled. I call it divine entanglement. The Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God abiding in His people. You are one with the Father. So when you touch the photon on the Earth, the one in the satellite reacts the exact same way. They're one. There's something there that the Lord wants us to grasp. It's how do you live your life? It's not just someday we're going to be with Him in heaven. Yeah, that is true. But here and now, that kingdom come here and now. He abides in you. You abide in Him. There's a revelation He wants us to step into as sons and daughters, carriers of the presence of God. Yeah, you can start. That'd be great. What happens to one happens instantaneously to the other. What happens, this is there's just a revelation of unity with the Father that He wants us to grasp out of the Word. Real quick, 1 John, and I'm done here. 1 John 4, I'll start in 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. This is that divine entanglement. Verse 16. We have come to know him and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in his love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, listen to this, as he is, so also are we in this world. As he is, so also are we here and now. And what's the element for, and I don't know how photons are, you know, quantumly entangled. I don't know how they do that scientifically, but I have a clue here. The divine entanglement, how that happens, it's love. It says it right here, God's love. If you abide in his love, you abide in him. He abides in you. It's the love that God has poured out through Jesus Christ to us. There's a love relationship that there's a divine entanglement that God is calling us into as his sons and daughters, as his church. Let's all stand. I just want, and I know this isn't a complete, there's more here, but I'm kind of nipping at the edges of a revelation here that I want you to just take with you and dig in for yourself. Lord, how does that affect my life? How then do I live? If this is true, there's a kingdom, there's an authority, there's a revelation, there's just a relationship that he's called us to live out day by day, that it's so far above what the average churchgoer of our countries know. There's just something here that he wants you to grasp. His kingdom come. Not someday, somewhere, but here and now. How does that affect your life? How does that affect your family, your job, your school? So the next time you go, you know, tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, you're back into the mundane of life. Start it the way we started our worship this morning. Miracles can happen now. The presence of God is here. And go with that attitude into your everyday life and watch the kingdom of God manifest. Holy Spirit, we bless you. Lord, I thank you that you indeed abide in us, that you are life to us. You are life in us. And I pray that your life would flow through your church. Lord, this week as we go out into the world, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would manifest your glory through your sons and daughters, that you would speak life and revelation. I pray for signs and wonders and miracles to be displayed through the hands of your servants, Lord. Not just the man in the pulpit, but Lord, the grandma at home, the young ones, the old ones, Lord, the ones that are working normal jobs. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to give us revelation of how we can walk in that place of divine oneness with you, divine entanglement with you, that your kingdom would begin to manifest freely and openly in the world where we live. We make place for you, Lord.
This afternoon, we need to sometimes just throw the clock out, right? An extra few minutes. I just really feel that today we have an abundance of missionaries in this house. And I get a sense in my spirit that some of you have been called into missions, short-term missions, or ministry of some kind, evangelism, preaching the gospel. And I feel like sometimes life has just gotten us a bit too busy. And it's taken us out of the real proper alignment with God. And maybe some of you have experienced a revival that's already happened in the past and you're wondering, why isn't it happening now? And I feel like the Lord is saying, because I'm actually going to do a new thing. It's not going to be revival like it was. It's going to be revival like it is now, for today, for this week, for this month, for this year. And I want to encourage you, I just want to give an opportunity in your hearts right now. Maybe something has really impacted you this service. Maybe just even listening to some of the testimonies that have happened. Maybe the supernatural encounters that were shared with testimony and actually the reality of the people that encountered it are actually in this house. Maybe it's what Rod just finished sharing. Maybe there's something that's awakening in our spirit and we've actually longed for the awakening. I just want to encourage you right now, if that's you, just put your hand up and wave it at me. I just want to pray something special, like saying, you know what, Lord, this is me. I have not been feeling 100%, and I want to feel 120%. If that's you, just put your hand up. I see those hands. Many hands going up. My hand's up. I want to feel 120. I want to feel 150%. Because none of us are worthless. None of us are not used in God's ministry. I mean, God has called every one of us. He looks at us as the most precious, every person as the most precious person in the world. That's what we're called. That's who we are. And I want to thank you here this morning, Lord God, for what you're doing in the house. For what you're doing in our hearts, because that's really the house of God, if you think about it. It's where your heart is at. It's where you're at. It's where we're at together. Sure, we're in a building, of course. But the heart, the actual church of God is constantly in his presence. And when you and I are together, two or more gathered in his name, he is there with us. This is church. This is the body of Christ. And when we leave today, go have lunch, go do whatever the family, whatever for your families or whatever you have planned, you take church with you. You're the church. We're the church. Here we are. We have families moving to Hawaii. We have families moving back from Hawaii. We have families going all sorts of all over the place today. So, Father, I pray right now for every hand that is raised here this morning. I pray, Lord God, a supernatural encounter of a continuation of your presence, Father. I pray, Lord God, that as we surrender ourselves and more of ourselves to you, Lord God, that you literally take the helm, guide and direct us in every path, every area, and every direction that we're to step into. I thank you, Lord, that today you have touched our hearts. You have touched our hearts. You're renewing our mind, Lord God, because that's who you are. You're a big God, and you're a God of renewal, forgiveness, and restoration. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you.